Hello and welcome to our first Ask the Coach for 2020. I'm Kirsten Todd, your coach here at Hooked on Running. Today I'm going to ask the question from Denise about cadence, which seems to be a much talked about topic in running. But before I do that, I just wanted to talk quickly about the bushfires. Probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago now, I wrote an article about whether the smoke is going to affect you if you run outside on a smoky day, with the conclusion that it probably wasn't going to do you too much long-term damage. Clearly, I wasn't expecting that Australia would be burning the entire summer. So, look, obviously, it's not going to be great for you if you run day after day after day in a smoky environment that is many, many, many times higher than a hazardous level. Try to run inside if you need to run on a smoky day, or just try to run in those windows where it's less smoky. If you need to move things around your program a bit, just try not to do two hard sessions back to back, but just try to just keep in mind, if you've got to run back to back, just have an easy run and then a harder run the next day. If in fact you've kind of had to reschedule that harder run, and by a harder run I mean something that's got some speed training in it, so it might be a fast finish, it might be a tempo run, might be an interval training session. Obviously an interval training session is going to be harder than, you know, say a 40-minute run with 10 minutes faster at the end, or it might be a particularly long run. So it might be sort of a, you know, 90-minute plus long run. So don't do, you know, say a 2-hour long run after an interval training session if you can help it. Like sometimes I do schedule them back to back just because I might want you running on tired legs. Nice person that I am. But, you know, generally speaking, when you've had to rearrange your training program, stick to not doing your hard sessions back to back. So on to cadence. Denise was asking about cadence because she had seen somebody running more quickly than she was, and he was turning his legs over pretty quickly, and she was wondering about doing that to help improve her speed. So the short answer to that, Denise, is that yes, most likely turning your legs over more quickly will increase your speed. Speed is step length times the number of steps per minute. That's basically the equation for speed. So if you turn your legs over more quickly, it is likely that you will go faster. If you lengthen your stride out, it is likely that you will go faster. However, you shouldn't be forcing either of those things. So when you're just running along comfortably, that's what you should be doing, just feeling comfortable. You're training for half marathons and ultra marathons ultimately, Denise. So I don't want you doing a lot of your running at a faster pace. There's no need to do that when you're training for the marathon distance. And it depends on what stage of your training you're at and how much running experience you have and how many years you've been running for, how many marathons you've run, all of that sort of thing. But around about 90% of your running eventually will be pretty easy pace because of all the benefits that incur for marathon training. So firstly, don't be concerned about running faster. Secondly, if you turn over your legs more quickly, you are likely to find that you're running at a higher intensity, which I don't want you doing. So don't worry about turning your legs over more quickly to run faster. Don't worry about running faster, because when it actually comes time to run faster in a race, all your slower training is going to hold you in really good stead, because it will just allow your body to burn more fat for fuel rather than glycogen, and still have a little bit of glycogen left, which will help to burn your fat more efficiently. That's all I'm going to say on that, because we're actually talking about cadence here, or I'm trying to. Look, most of you have read all sorts of things about cadence, I imagine. The main thing about cadence, you've probably read that 180 steps per minute is the ultimate number of steps to take per minute, because that's what elite runners do. Firstly, why would any of us think that what elite runners do is what we should be doing? Because, oh gosh, elite runners run a lot faster than us. Elite runners are far closer to being biomechanically perfect than we are. They're naturally likely to be able to do stuff that we can't do, and that's what makes them be able to run faster. Also, there's, you know, the factors of training or that sort of thing. But, you know, from the start, they're just faster runners than we are. And it may well be that they are put together differently, which means they're able to run differently, and that's what makes them a faster runner. Rather than they have run in a particular manner and train themselves to run in a particular manner, and that's what's making them faster. It's the fact that their body allows them to run that way in the first place that makes them faster. So actually trying to emulate what elite runners do is not necessarily a smart thing to do. Okay, so your body is going to run pretty much the way is the best way for it to run, and even amongst elite runners, there's so many different differences in technique and stride rate and stride length and all that sort of thing. So it's really, as so often with running, there's no one size fits all approach. Getting back to that 180 strides a minute, that came about because a guy called Jack Daniels analyzed the stride rate of elite runners at the 1984 Olympics. I think there were 46 of them maybe, and he found that all bar one had a stride rate of over 180 a step rate of over 180 steps per minute. But these guys were racing. They were at the Olympics. They were in peak fitness. So, you know, like that's so different to what we do as recreational runners training. And it's different to what the elite runners do in training as well. So it doesn't really extrapolate very well. Jack Daniels didn't ever say that 180 steps per minute was what should be aimed at. He also said that he was a college coach in the US as well, and he said that he'd never had beginner runners who ran with a step rate of 180 steps per minute. And I don't think he meant beginner runners as in people just starting running. Like, he's a college running coach, so they're going to be of a reasonable standard to start with. You'll find if you're just jogging along, you know, and you actually count the number of steps you're taking per minute, and then you pick your pace up, you will find that you are taking more steps per minute when you're running faster than when you're running more slowly. So with people who are suggesting that you need to pick your step rate up because if it's under 170, it means you're overstriding, which is what a lot of people say these days. Firstly, I'd say, well, what's your definition of overstriding? What's the matter with, and I say in inverted commas, overstriding if it's not causing you any injuries? And also, you know, advocates of picking up your step rate will likely say something along the lines of, oh, and, you know, you'll find it harder to start with, but you'll get used to it. That is because you are running at a higher intensity when you lift your step rate up, and you will get used to it in a few months because you'll be fitter and better able to cope, and you won't actually, you can run at that pace without it being a higher intensity. What I found, and I've been looking at people running for over 12 years now, and like, so I see about half a dozen face-to-face groups every week, and I also see some people one-on-one, not that frequently, but I've seen a lot of people running, and one of the things that I have found is that if people kind of look like they're overstriding, and I'm sort of hesitant to use that term because I don't think there really is a definition of overstriding unless you're prone to some knee injuries and you can actually see that you are sort of overextending your leg a little bit. I think that that if people kind of look a bit uncomfortable, look like they're kind of trying too hard, generally speaking, that actually writes itself once people get fitter and they look more comfortable. They don't look like they're sort of pushing too hard to get faster. So I really am a big believer in things kind of writing themselves with more running. If you're wanting to get faster, obviously if you want to pick up your pace, you think about going faster, and what will generally happen is that your stride rate will increase or your stride length will increase or a combination of both. But if you're wanting to get faster in the long term, don't worry too much about your technique, because that is icing on the cake kind of stuff. The only time that I'll be really thinking, okay, we need to have a look at what you're doing when you're running, is if you're repeatedly getting injured, and that overstriding, that landing too far with your foot in front of your center of gravity, so in front of your hips, can be the cause of some knee issues, particularly if you're landing on your heel when you do it. But if you're not getting injuries, I'll kind of say, you know, like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the first thing you need to do if you are thinking about trying to correct overstriding or, you know, pick up your cadence is actually, like, you really need to be looking at being strong. So you need to have, you need to be strong all in the posterior chain. So strong glutes, strong hamstrings, strong calves. If you're strong there, you're likely going to be able to have a reasonably long stride, but it's all going to be kind of in the back of your stride, not out in front of your hips. So the first thing to do would be to focus on strength training. And secondly, just to run more. You become more efficient as a runner the more you run, within reason. And obviously, you don't want to overdo it and do too much too soon. But I really think that most of the injuries that you see in running is caused by people doing too much too soon, by increasing their mileage too much or increasing their intensity, you know, the amount of faster running they do, or trying to increase both at the same time. I really don't think in too many cases you need to be too concerned about the number of times your foot hits the ground. Some time ago when I sort of started my reading on cadence, like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, maybe even longer actually, I tried to get my step rate up to 180 steps a minute, and it was really hard. I could not do it. When I'm running easy, 168 steps a minute when I'm fit is pretty much what I do. And obviously when I go faster, my step rate increases a bit, and my stride length would increase as well. So one of the things you'll also hear associated with a slower cadence is that people will also talk about heel strike at the same time. However, heel striking is actually more efficient than forefoot striking at most paces. So there was a study that looked at the metabolic cost of walking and running at various speeds, and it showed that with walking, first up with a heel strike, that reduced the metabolic cost of walking by 53%. So it takes 53% less effort to walk by landing on your heel first than it does if you were to land on your midfoot or your forefoot. If you're a slower runner, most slower runners will land exclusively on their heels, and that's because you're conserving energy. And then there's been some other research that showed that heel striking is 6% more efficient than middle forefoot striking at about 4 minutes 45 per kilometre pace. And then there was another one that showed that the crossover point, where there's no difference in running efficiency between heel and midfoot striking, at about 4 minutes per kilometre pace. So if you're running anything between 4 minutes a K and walking pace, you're likely to be running more efficiently if you're running on your heel. So as long as you're not getting injured, heel striking is actually not an issue. Heel striking can be an issue when you're getting injured, if you're overstriding, you're landing with your foot way out in front of you and you're landing on your heel, you're putting a lot of pressure in your knee. One of my runners sent me an article. The title of the article is "Why Almost Everything You Thought About Running Is Wrong." Basically, someone did some tests comparing an elite athlete and a recreational runner. Now, the elite athlete was someone who made the semifinals of the 1500 metres in Rio. Since then, and I quote, she's had a series of debilitating calf injuries and is now working her way back to full fitness. And then there was a recreational runner who was an ABC journalist. And so one of the things they found was that the elite runner struck their foot closer to their body, and that she landed on her mid to forefoot. And one of the things about landing on your mid to forefoot is that it puts a lot more pressure on your calves and your Achilles. And she's been suffering from chronic calf injuries, this woman. So I'm not really sure how this article was kind of supposed to show that the elite runner was running with a technique that was better. I guess I'd sort of say that just as an example of how you kind of got a little bit, you got to be reading things critically. And I don't mean criticizing them, I just mean you need to be critically evaluating the stuff that you read, because everyone loves a good headline. Running it does put a lot of force through your body, and basically if you're changing your cadence, it's likely to change a little bit where that force goes through your body. So if it changes you to a sort of a mid to 4 foot striker, it will put more pressure on your calves and your Achilles, but take the pressure off your knees. So if you've got knee issues, then yeah, it's a reasonable thing to be thinking about doing. But if you don't, you're probably better off concentrating on being a little bit fitter and concentrate on getting your aerobic fitness up by more running, which needs to be done gradually and sensibly, and also definitely doing some strength training in the muscles that are at the back of your body. Because what will happen then is that you'll have the strength to be able to maintain a longer stride, but a lot of that length in your stride will come from the point of where your foot is behind you to where it sort of crosses over underneath your hips, and you won't feel like you need to be reaching out more. Getting back to Denise's original question, no, don't do anything about your cadence. There's really no need to. So I hope that's helped put your mind at rest a little bit about cadence. It's just not something that I feel you need to really worry about too much, unless you feel like, you know, you've got some knee injuries. It's not only knee injuries that's going to help. It might help with some hamstring and glute issues. But don't muck around with yourself. Once you start fiddling with things, it can open a Pandora's box. So just stick with what you're doing. Keep your training consistent. And a lot of the other stuff will take care of itself.